Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
Hello, everyone. We want to welcome you to episode 12 of the Pastor's Porch. We are super excited to bring you part two today of our three parts on Jezebel. If you didn't listen to last week, please go listen to last week as we covered the person of Jezebel and King Ahab in 1 and 2 Kings. Today we are going to be covering Jezebel and Thyatira from the book of Revelation, and next week we will talk about the spirit of Jezebel. And so we are super excited to bring you Jezebel and Thyatira in the book of Revelation. The same Jezebel is who is talked about as the prophetess in 1 and 2 Kings. And so if you haven't, go study that out. Spend some time in that word as we talk about how the Spirit of the Lord came to John to write about her and talk about her in one of the seven church letters, and specifically to the church of Thyatira here. And so we're excited to talk about this today. And just like last week, again, don't think we are specifically talking about individuals and think too much into this. We're just bringing you the Word of God and what to pay attention to and what to be aware of as we talk about these things. And so we're excited today. So Pastor Zach, I'll let you take it over.
Man, so really, last week, that was an awesome. I would encourage you guys, read those First Kings chapters we mentioned, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, and 2 Kings. I mean, just those whole encounters were awesome. But I do want to tell you where this came from, right? We've been in this study in our church. Hope you check it out on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and hopefully in the future on our app. Our study of the church letters, the seven church letters to the churches that were spread across Asia that Jesus wrote through his apostle John. And this whole conversation about Jezebel really centered probably months ago. Pastor T and I started talking about this specific spirit, this specific teacher. And really, to be honest, this is carried on for probably months at different points. We kind of leave it, and then a week later we'll pick it up, and then a month later we'll pick it up. And we've just been having this conversation for a few months. So I hope you enjoy our study of the Word of God, and I hope you enjoy your own study of the Word of God. And so we're in the book of Revelation. We are in the second chapter, and we're going to read verse 18 on down. And then I may not read all the way through. I think it's 29, but I'll read to the parts we're trying to get to. The Bible says this: "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, said the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works and your charity. I know your service and your faith, and I know your patience and your works. And you have in the last to be more than the first." In other words, your works are increasing. "Notwithstanding," this is the important part we want to get to for us today, for our study. "Notwithstanding, I have some things against you, because you have suffered the woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she did not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed." This is talking about into a sick bed, specifically a sick bed. "And those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Listen to this. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches will know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Wow.
Yeah, it's it references her as the prophetess in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, which gives us the background and the historical side, the history of who she is. But then it warns the church of Thyatira that basically, this what it says, and when they suffer a woman, it means to tolerate her. Mm. And it's a representation of how they didn't learn from the history.
Yeah.
They didn't learn from the history of King Ahab and Jezebel.
Right.
And here they are tolerating her to be able to seduce and worship the pagan god Baal.
Yeah.
And to commit fornications. And so this is a warning to the church, basically saying you're allowing this woman, and in this sense, it may not be the physical woman Jezebel. It may be towards the spiritual side, which will cover the whole spiritual side next week. But it's basically the spiritual side of allowing this spiritual woman, not of good spirits, demonically, to come in and to be a part of the church.
Yeah,
you're tolerating fornication.
You're
tolerating these individuals coming and seducing others and seducing kids and seducing these people to go away from the doctrine that have been established already. And if you're wondering what seduce means, well, guess what? You don't have to wonder anymore. I've got the definition from the Bible. It is to deceive and be out of the way.
Mm.
So basically, what this Jezebel woman is doing is deceiving and putting people to be out of the way of God's will.
Mm.
Which, Zach, you've talked about it plenty of times before. Jezebel's one goal is to disturb the worship of God.
True worship.
The true worship.
Yeah.
And as we see that here, as this letter to Thyatira is, we are tolerating this woman who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce servants to commit fornication, to call things, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Mm. And what we are doing here in this warning, and what has happened in churches and in homes and in families, is we are tolerating things that are not of God, that are distracting us from the worship of God in our very homes and in our very houses of worship.
Which is exactly what we saw last week.
If
you build off of what we talked about last week, and you're kind of building the ground, building the runway, if you will, to reveal the Jezebel spirit in the next episode, is you see the similarities. And what are the similarities? Well, Ahab tolerated Jezebel.
Correct.
The church is now tolerating Jezebel.
Yeah, which is why John is hearing from the Lord and writing a letter to Thyatira.
I mean, in my Bible, this is red letter. This is Jesus' words to the church of Thyatira. And so I think for me, when I look at the similarities between the church being the bride of Christ, and then when I look at marriage in general, and just this tolerating of this ungodliness, I don't think people truly understand, and I don't want to get too much into the spiritual realm just yet, unless the Lord just tells us to. People don't understand the weight of false doctrine.
Correct.
You know, because if you begin to talk about somebody about, how much do we tolerate? I said it a few weeks ago from the pulpit, and I don't know that many people enjoyed this statement or agreed.
It's truth, though, and it needs to be spoken again.
Tolerance is not a Christian virtue.
Correct.
Nowhere in this scripture is God telling me to tolerate sin or to take what someone has called normal and appease it. Now, he calls me to love people. He calls me to love my enemies. He calls me to love people I disagree with.
Correct.
He does not tell me to tolerate the behavior or the worship.
No.
And I think that's the point he's making now to the church at Thyatira, is Jesus is saying, hey, listen, even your works are increasing, but at the same time your works are increasing more than they were at the first. This big thing I got against you is you are tolerating a spirit, a woman in the church who calls herself a prophetess, to seduce people that have come into worship.
Yeah.
And I mean, guys, you got to go study out Thyatira and study out what was actually happening, because we did the week we taught on this. It's deep. I mean, it's deep what was actually happening. But it's not so deep that we can't see it in our culture.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you go study out what fornication truly is.
Right. Yeah.
You go study out, like, let's just talk about it. Like, you go study out fornication, it was unlawful sex. And you go study out what that Hebrew-Greek word actually is, it's of either sex. Mm-hmm. Well, look around us.
Yeah.
The homosexuality that is very present today and even in churches, that's fornication.
Yeah.
By definition, that's fornication. Parents, you're not going to like me saying this, and kids, some teenagers, if you're listening to this today, if you are doing any sexual act out of a relationship with your husband or your wife, that is fornication.
Absolutely.
If you are, and we have tolerated those things in the church, that if we're doing things other than sex, it's okay. Mm-hmm. If we're not penetrating,
right?
If things are not penetrating, then it's not fornication.
Right.
No, if you're touching inappropriately with someone of the same sex or the opposite sex, that is not your husband or that is not your wife, it is fornication. And we do not talk about that in the church house. We don't bring it up enough.
Right.
But this is exactly what God is speaking to the church at Thyatira, is you are tolerating these things to happen in the house of God.
Yeah.
It's not that we're tolerating things to happen in homes or on the street corner. This is to the church. The church at Thyatira. And what we're not realizing is when it's talking about these children later on down in the verse of 23, that is a representation of the followers of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Man, there is a spirit that is around, and I'm trying not to get into next week too much, but there is a spirit of fornication that is infiltrating our church houses today that we are tolerating as the big church.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have to be careful of that. And it's we've blurred these lines that God has made so clear in the Bibles. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There was a time in my life when I was a teenager and going through some of these things that I tolerated some of these things, and I had to come to a repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not proud of it.
Sure. Well, and I think for me, a few weeks ago when I was working on a sermon there in Revelation 2, I was laying before the Lord, and the Lord just clearly, plainly reminded me that some of the harvest that the church is now reaping is from seeds that were planted of tolerance.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me put that in plainer speech so everybody can understand. Some of us have dressed our kids in such a way that we didn't care if they were provocative. And then they went out and engaged in activities that we wish they hadn't. However, we never addressed it.
That's the truth.
I mean, listen, I was a teenager, okay? I did dumb things I should have never done. I wish I had the biblical knowledge I have now to understand true worship, and I wish I could take back some of the things that had happened before I was in Christ. I can't, right? They were there. The blood of Jesus, this is why the mercy of the Lord and the grace of God is amazing, because he covered those things, right? He took them away from me. But this is what I would tell you is, if you're a parent, listen to the words I'm telling you. Don't be so focused on dressing your kids a certain way so that they can get attention. Don't be so focused on making sure that this is seen and that is seen, because I'm telling you, our hunger for that attention has opened a door to fornication.
That's right.
Which has now opened a door to gender confusion and different things going on in the land. And this blatant fornicating spirit that is at work in our nation.
Correct. Well, and you go on that, you go read the very next verse after this. Jesus says, I gave her a chance to repent.
Right. Called her to repentance.
Called her to repentance.
Run. If you get around somebody and they're telling you God told them to repent and they won't, that's the scariest place on planet Earth.
Absolutely.
We all make mistakes.
And we're all human. We're all flesh.
We all may take 4 days to do something God said take 3 days to do.
Exactly.
Right?
We're not going to be human. are we're not gonna be perfect because we are human. And but what I was what scares me in that is the fact that basically what this tells me, what I comprehend from this, is she was aware what she was doing wrong. She was told what she was doing wrong, but yet she indulged in it.
James 3:1. Be not many teachers, right? Be not many teachers, because they will be held to a stricter judgment.
Yeah.
What's the judgment that comes upon her?
Yeah, well, you go listen to last week what we talked about, the horrible wrongful, or not wrongful, she deserved it, but the horrible kind of abrasive end of her life.
Yeah. Well, and what judgment she faced first was, you said last week, you gave him a nugget, remember? You said, watch what happens. Well, part of the judgment that she fell into was her son was killed before her.
And read Revelation 2 in verse 23. And I will kill her children with death.
Hmm.
Yeah, I gave him nugget last week because I knew what Revelation says here.
Right.
And the Lord just put it as plain as day for me last week, is that her son died before she did.
Yeah. In the place that she thought she had victory, she suffered one of her greatest defeats.
Uh-oh.
I'm just telling you, that's sin.
Yes. Yes.
That's any sin.
And if anything, this is a warning that what you are allowing may not affect you. It's going to affect your kids.
Well, let's talk about that. All right? Let's put that down on the bottom shelf right here so everybody can understand it. Everybody, not everybody, maybe nobody, understands David. And David was a man that had trouble in only one area, in only one time you see in Scripture. 90% of the time you see the name David in Scripture, it's all good, man. David's killing giants with the help of the Lord.
Right, he's, worship songs.
Yeah, I mean,
being king.
It's a good life, right? Yeah. Being promoted. But that one encounter that you see with Bathsheba, and then where it sparks him into the murder of Uriah and all the different things, there's a son that comes from David and Bathsheba. The first son dies. The second son is named Solomon. Tell me how many wives and concubines Solomon had. Do you remember?
It was hundreds, if not, well, yes, hundreds.
If my memory's right, it was 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Yeah.
And I may have those numbers reversed, but it was 1,000.
Yeah.
It was over 1,000. But watch this. That's the physical, okay? We see the physical. Everybody wants to talk about how wise Solomon was. But I'm just telling you, I don't have time to preach this, but y'all go study it. Go study the books in the Bible Solomon wrote, and you can watch, or writings about Solomon, and you can watch this happen in his life. At his beginning, he was the wisest man on the earth.
Nobody talks about the ending.
But at his ending, he was building fake altars to pagan gods for all these wives and for all of these concubines. He was engaging in purposeful worship of other gods.
Yeah.
All that he did. But by the end of his life, he was reaping. Well, where did that start? It didn't start with him.
No.
It started with his parents.
Yeah, started with David. And that's why this warning is written.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's written, is written from the idea of Jezebel. To me, it just shows the sovereignty of God from Kings to Revelation.
Absolutely.
Of showing that her son was killed in the place that she thought she had victory.
Yeah.
And then come to the end of the book of the Bible in Revelation where it says, and I will kill her children unto death.
That's intense.
And it's a warning to all of us. Man, it gives me conviction.
Yeah.
And it gives me a warning of Lord, if there be anything in me that I have not knowing of or need to fix for my kids, let me know. And parents, if you are listening to this, those things that you think you can do okay with doesn't mean that your kids are going to be okay with it. I know plenty of people that can have a drink and feel like they can control,
right,
air quote, control their right alcohol use.
Right.
And I look at their kids who are drunks.
Uh-oh.
I know people that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know people that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that may be able to watch a movie and not engage in any activities, but I know their kids are out living like hell in beds with different people every night because of what they were allowed to do. I have friends that are struggling with some of those things because some of the things that their parents did not fix and that they thought that they could tolerate, which is what this warning is to the church letter of Thyatira of tolerating Jezebel. And so this is a warning, and nobody likes to talk about that it's affecting her kids, not just her. And that's the biggest warning that I take from this in the church house is and even in my house, is I don't want to be the person that is tolerating something that's going to affect my kids later on down the road.
Well, ultimately, this all wraps back around to this, is it's a disruption of worship.
Absolutely.
And so I can only think of my own life. When I was a heavy drinker back when I was, I don't know, 15 to 22, maybe, I guess, I don't know. But particularly 21, 22 years old before I met my wife and before I came to the Lord in the fullness of Him, big drinker, right? But I remember when my son was born, he'll be 13 the week this podcast comes out. Happy birthday, Hunter. That when he was born, I can remember sitting there drinking, right? And I can remember thinking, the Lord, that's when the Lord began to develop in my life. And he was, you know, getting on me, right? In the Holy Ghost, in the most beautiful way. And one of the biggest fears that I had was everyone I knew who touched beer touched it too much. You know what I mean? And it was one of those things was, well, Lord, I don't want that for my kids.
Yeah.
So, I put down that bottle when he was 1 year old, which would have been 2011. And I thank God that he called me to repentance of my problem with drink, that my kids aren't going to deal with it. They're not going to deal with it. And I believe that with all my heart, that they're not going to deal with it because the Lord removed it from my life. Had I continued down that path, that could have become something that my children struggle with.
Yeah.
And that's just a personal note. I mean, now it doesn't mean that, hey, listen, how many years I'm into this walk with Jesus now, I'll be 38 this year. It doesn't mean that there aren't still things that the Lord calls me to repent of. Anger, right? Or bad attitude, or these different things I get involved in. Eating too many cheesecakes or whatever, you know? Like, there's still things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in me. But the scary thing is, man, is she just doesn't have any reverence for authority.
Nope.
Like, you see that plainly.
It's reckless.
Obviously for the church and obviously for the Lord. Like, what a warning.
Yeah, be cautioned. Be cautioned about those around that live recklessly.
And seductive. I mean, we kind of hit on that earlier with the fornication thing, but like the seduction, like what it actually means is to draw away, like, to seduce, you know, fornication, what it actually means, like all of these things we've been talking about, to me, it's just all an attack of worship.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is just, you know, and I said it last week that some of the things that have come into the land is a form of judgment. Well, whether it's churches splitting, whether it's denominations crumbling, whether it's the lack of biblical teaching, some of the judgment that has come into the church has been because nobody stood up for the word of God.
It's the truth.
Nobody stood up for what God's word said. And people allowed certain things in. Now you drive down through the town we're in and you got churches with rainbow flags on the front door that says we're having a queer camp. I don't even know what that is, but that's not God.
It's not biblical.
It's not God. And then you drive down the other side of town and they're having a beer party in the parking lot of the church. That's not God either, right? And then you drive on the other side of town and you got people that that just hold signs and say everybody's going to hell and never engage anybody with the gospel. Guess what? That's not biblical either. That's not God's word. And so there's these two extremes fighting in the land. And like, I'm just sitting here saying, who's going to preach the truth of God's word?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the scary thing to me here for Thyatira is who will just be the one to stand up, right? Like, who will just be the one to look at Jezebel in the face and tell her that she no longer has authority, seat, or position of leadership or a position to teach? Like, who's going to be the one that looks at her and says, you will bow to God and you will be removed from the place in which you are? And I mean, this is, it sounds so simple to us, but yet it's at work every day in what we know as the American church.
Correct.
It's at work right now in the town we live in. It's at work in the town next door.
Yes.
It's at work in the state. And this spirit is still being allowed.
Yes.
And not that I got it all figured out or you got it all figured out. It ain't that we're perfect. But I promise you, if you know someone is seducing, if you know someone is turning someone over to false worship or teaching against the word of God, I mean, how popular has it become now for people stand in these pulpits and they say the word of God is not accurate or we don't need the word of God no more. And they call themselves pastors and they wear little rainbow sashes around them to try to make themselves look like a part of the culture. And they say God is they, them, and all this stupid stuff. And it's not biblical. And I'm just sitting here wondering who's going to be the guy in America that stands up.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the pastor that says, I don't care, you can cancel me, you can turn me off, you can come against me. I don't really care what you try to do to me.
Standing up for the word of God.
I'm going to stand for the word of God. And that's what the church needs.
Yes.
It needs somebody willing to stand up.
And yes.
I mean, you can cancel whatever you want, but you can't cancel the word of God.
Nope, you can't.
It's not going to happen.
You can't. And to wrap this up, because I mean, this is heavy stuff against the church at Thyatira.
Right.
And against those who tolerate Jezebel. But verse 26 of Revelation 2 says, and he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
There it is.
So that's to me, that's a promise.
Right.
That's a covenant.
Right.
And so as we've discussed last week, Jezebel and Ahab, and this week, Jezebel and the church of Thyatira, there's a lot of information there and a lot of things that are keen for us to listen to. And so understand Pastor Zach and I's heart with this. It's not to condemn. It's not to throw shade. It's for you to understand the word of God and to take it to heart and to analyze your own life. Because I promise you, within these last 2 weeks of us talking about this, it's caused me to do an internal just look at what I'm allowing, what I'm tolerating, and what is in order in my home and everything. And so we're not sitting up here casting fingers. We want to help everybody understand and engage in what the Word of God is telling us and warning us about. And so understand that is our heart in this. And also understand that Jesus concludes Thyatira with, if you are overcoming, hold fast.
Yeah.
Stand in the gap, because I will give you power over nations, and I will help you overcome some of these things.
Yeah.
And so hold on to that. Hold on to that word. And so we thank you for listening to this podcast today. And next week, we are covering the spirit of Jezebel for our part 3. So stay tuned for next week so that you can understand the fullness as we've covered Jezebel and Ahab and covered Jezebel in Revelation. Tune in next week as we conclude it with the spirit of Jezebel. Thank you for tuning in today.
And let me give you one more thought as we thank you for listening. I just feel like the Lord wants me to say this, so I just want to say it. This is my second closing. Who you are yoked to matters. If you've got nothing out of the last 2 weeks, listen to me when I tell you this. It matters the worship of the person you're yoked to, and it matters the church that you're yoked to. And you may say, hey, it doesn't matter what my church believes. I believe this. You may say, it doesn't matter what the pastor teaches, I believe this. And we don't even like to talk about these things, but I just feel like the Lord wants this to be measured home, whether it was about Ahab and Jezebel or whether it was about Thyatira and Jezebel. The influence you let around you matters. And what your church believes matters. Know what your church believes. Know where your church stands. As a pastor, I can tell you right now, it doesn't bother me one bit for somebody to come ask me what I believe on topics, because I'm going to take them to the scripture. And if your pastor dances around it and acts like an Ahab, there's a reason, because he's probably controlled by Jezebel. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.